That's the opening music from the Magnificat of Johann Sebastian Bach, a performance from some years ago, the Peoria Bach Festival Orchestra and Chorus, heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show is your connection to local performances. Good afternoon, I'm Kevin Kelly, and coming up on the program, I will be talking with Dr. Martin Dickey, who is co-director of the Peoria Bach Festival, along with artistic director Dr. John Jost, and Martin will talk to us about this year's festival, which opens on Monday, June the 2nd, and continues through June 8th. But first, my guests, this portion of Live and Local, are all involved with Illinois Theater's summer program, which is a little bit different than it has been in years past, where I think it's generally been called Illinois Summer Theater or something of that effect, with a number of plays being given by sort of a resident company. In this case, there is a resident company, but it is not in residence from our area immediately, but it's a group that comes down from is coming down from Chicago. They're called the Definition Theater Company, and they will be presenting first a play called The Brothers' Sighs by Terrell Alvin McCraney, which actually opened last night and will continue through June the 8th. And then for their second presentation, there's actually a bunch of plays being given. It's a new short play festival, and that'll run June 11th through the 14th. The director of Brothers' Sighs and also one of the two artistic consultants for the summer theater program is Kathleen Conlon, who actually is a former dean of the School of Fine Arts or College of Fine Arts.
College of Fine Arts
mm-hmm. at the University of Illinois, and also formerly of the, well, formerly and again of the U of I Theater Company. Thanks very much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you, Kevin.
So before we introduce the actors from Definition Theater Company, give us an idea of why you decided to pick this troupe for this particular adventure, and then a little bit about what I guess is being called, billed as New Voices in Theater, Revelations and Discoveries.
And they are.
And they are, yeah.
Well, essentially, it's in many ways a very easy choice to have the Definition Theater as our company in residence for this joint project, a pilot project, if you will. All three of the actors are alums from our program, and the entire group of six who were the founding members of the Definition Theater were graduates of our program in 2012. And in many ways, they have been really phenomenal students when they were here, and the sense that we've seen their professional work grow in these past 2 years made it very clear to us that we wanted them back on campus because we wanted people to see what that maturation process is like for actors and material.
So what about this New Voices in Theater mm-hmm. pilot project? Is it envisioned that something like similar to this will happen in future years?
We hope so. This notion of bringing in companies who will work with us in the department to present essentially new material. Some of it absolutely spanking brand new, some of it maybe 3, 4, 5 years old, but new to the Champaign-Urbana audience. And new material that actually in itself has unusual stylistic demands or aesthetic demands, so that it allows us to show performances that expand what our usual repertoire in Champaign-Urbana is like.
So in the case of the first play being given, the one play that's being given multiple performances,
right,
is The Brothers' Sighs. I read your director's note, and you say that you actually sort of had already fallen in love with the playwright's work mm-hmm. Before members of this company approached you about possibly directing it. Terrell Alvin McCraney, tell me about him.
Right. Interesting guy, a young writer in his early 30s now, who caught the attention of a lot of people early on. He was invited to the Yale Drama School for their playwriting program, and it's one of the most successful in the country in terms of placing new writers in concert with mentors that allow their work to really develop. And then he was absorbed, or now has been absorbed, into the Steppenwolf Theater Company in Chicago. And he is a winner of one of the MacArthur Genius Grants because of the unique nature of his writing. He's one of the, it's a unique voice. And that's why one of the reasons why we call this about discoveries and new voices in theater, because his is a new voice. And it's not a voice just about subject matter. But it's also stylistically, the fact that he puts the plays together so that they are, on the one hand, it's a very gritty story, but it's also done in a most poetic way, in the way that he uses language. The language is really quite musical in terms of its rhythms. And the plays then, in turn, require an extraordinary physical embodiment, more so than any realistic play that we could do.
So usually a play doesn't tell the director or the actors what they are supposed to do physically, but I gather this one does.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
No. The rhythms are inherent in the speech, but if you ignore them at your peril. What we decided to do was we kept hearing rhythm in the language, and we used the rhythm in the language to help us develop what our physical approach was to the plays itself. So we literally discovered what these scenes needed to look like and sound like as we worked.
Put this in context a little bit. This is part of a trilogy.
Yes.
What's the trilogy? I mean, it's called the Brother-Sister Plays.
Exactly.
Trilogy. Is this first, second, third? Where does this
fall? In the middle with Brother Size. Yeah.
What came before?
Yeah. Julian, you want to talk about that?
Yes. Okay. So we're in the
middle. So this is, excuse me for interrupting, but this is Julian Parker, who's one of the founding members of Definition Theater Company.
Yes. In this play, we follow two brothers who, one has just gotten out of jail, and the other brother has decided to take him under his wing and try to get him back on his feet. And his best friend gets out at the same time of jail. His best friend gets out of jail at the same time. And so my character is forced to come to the realities of what relationship actually means, and how some people, there's this feeling that we don't realize the people, the relationships of what they mean while they're in our lives. And I'm stuck in this position where I have to feel like I have to balance between the life I should live versus the life I can't help but living. And
so your character is one of the ones who just got out of jail.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The brother who just got out of
jail. The brother who just got out of jail. And I live a life where my brother doesn't come and visit me for 2 years, and I find a new relationship and create a bond in jail with a new brother. I identify as a new brother, and he's been there with me, and he's seen the terrible, he's seen the love that can happen in the darkness. And so by the time I get out, there's a lot of things that go unsaid. As much as we speak these stage directions aloud, there's a lot that goes unsaid. And the entire trilogy is about family and finding the love in between the silence. I think that's without trying to give away too much.
That's it.
Well, the thing about a play, you know, and giving it away is that anybody can read the play.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Although it's not been out very long, but just
no,
a couple
but,
years.
But 4 years, actually, the
four
script. Years,
four or mm-hmm. five years.
Yeah. So, let's get into this play a little bit.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about the new short play festival that is happening later. There's a certain atmosphere for this play coming from a particular part of the country, right? New Orleans, technically, or at
the
least
bayou.
The bayou. How does that figure into the setting, or how is it?
It's so hot, and we were just talking about that. like not just the temperature of the theater. Like he's written very miraculously, very cleverly. He's written heat into this play. And the characters talk about it, and it seems like almost the antagonist in the plays. As long as I cannot be out there, whatever's going on in here isn't that bad. And like we joke about it, but it's serious. Like we're doing we're doing warm-ups, and we are sweating from head to toe on just warm-ups. And we're not, I mean, we're warming up. It's like, this hurts. This hurts. And he's written bruises into the play that surface every morning. And it's a play written with just pain. And in talking about that pain, it's in hope to relieve it. And I think it's unlike anything I've ever read in my entire life. And every scene progresses. The climate of this play just speaks beyond anything that I've ever gotten a chance to be a part of before.
Let me introduce the other actors who are also, three of them founding ensemble members, before I ask you maybe to talk a little bit more about it, and then we'll have a scene from it. Mentioned Julian Parker, who's been speaking with us, Tyrone Phillips also, Mercedes White, and then a fellow who I've actually seen in some plays here, Christopher Terrell. In fact, have you been on this show before?
I think for Hairspray.
Yeah, I think you've been in this studio before. Chris is understudying all of the characters, all of the roles pretty much.
It's a really interesting experience having this body of work, because this is a living story that's just with you, and it takes on this life. And when you're thinking about this play or a show and you have to memorize a part, you think, okay, this is the one thing that I have to do. But for this, it's like, you explore a world and you go deeper into it, and you really come under the psychologies of each of these characters, the brothers, and then this lonesome character who's mysterious. And you're like, what does he want? Where is he at? And who is he attaching himself to? And then you're just like, wow. It's taking a step back when you're seeing it on stage with these great actors. You're just like, yeah, this is a play you can't just read. You have to see it in action.
Yeah, and we will be having a reading in a minute, and that's the disadvantage of radio. There's such thing as radio drama, so you get to do that. Do you have to? I mean, Julian said that this play was different than anything else that he has worked with so far in his young career. Mm-hmm. Are you able to draw on personal experience for this play, or is what's going on beyond your experience?
It's about the family. So, I mean, everyone has a family. So I think that's really the window where everyone can come into the theater and attach to it in some type of way. It starts off from that, as you see these two brothers, and you see, well, one stands for work, one stands for sleep. And then you watch how that dynamic kind of plays off each other the entire time. So for me, I remember the first time we rehearsed this. This is the third time we're doing this play. The first time I remember there's a rehearsal where we were literally just saying the words, trying to be in the right spot, and, you know, just doing the scene. But the emotions take over you. And that's one thing about this show, is that it's not only physically draining, but it's an emotional ride. You go on it with these people, and before you know it, you're caught up in this story. So I would say it's very easy to draw personal experiences while we're working on it. And, I mean, we're friends. We've been in classes together for 4 years, and then this is the last thing that we did before we left here. So it's just looking at that actor in the eye on stage, that's enough for whatever to happen that night.
Yeah. So you did this play on campus?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. At the Armory. Going off of what Tyrone said, the play is primarily about family, and within that, it's about sacrifice and having to, when you lose something and having to give something up, and it's just like, that to me is, everyone can relate to that. You know when you've been like in a situation where you have to sacrifice for someone else, and it's just like having to do that and trying not to break down and show them your weakness because you need to be strong for that person. It's just like, I totally can relate to that in every aspect of my life. So I can draw from it within anything I do.
Have any of you ever had friends or family who've been in jail? That you can relate to that aspect of it?
Yes, I can. This morning, actually, I had a phone call from my father, who's in jail right now. He's incarcerated right now. And it was just kind of like, it woke me up. I didn't know who it was from and what's going on, but it just kind of caught me off guard. And just having to hear your father on the phone is kind of startling, but it's just like, being in this play, I know that it's like it's very hard to get out. It's very there's no system set up for you to start over. And I mean, he's my dad, so I know he's a great man. He's an awesome human being. So it's just like I just wish there was something easier for them to the process for them to start over. And just like with Otruzi too, he says in one of the places, like, I'm just trying to live easy, man. Like, because his brother gives him a hard time, you know, and he mentions being in jail all the time. Like, you don't want to go back to the pen. I don't, you know what I mean? And so it's just like having that thrown in your face, because whether you've been in jail or you've failed a test or you've done anything, no one likes to have anything thrown in their face constantly. So, yeah, it's just like, it's a terrible situation.
So that's definitely an experience you can bring to your character.
Yeah, yeah,
Which is whom?
Alegba. Mm-hmm.
And Alegba is?
The coolest person in the play. Alegba is Otruzi's cellmate. And we get out at the same time, and we're kind of really close friends.
So you're the other brother.
No, Ogun is the oldest brother.
What I mean is the new
brother. Oh, yeah, I'm the new brother, yeah. The newfound created brother. Yeah. You know, yeah. See, I'm the other brother, the cool guy. So it's just like we're best friends, and, you know, I lead this mysterious life. And as much as I try to be, you know, something that I'm not, I can't help but go to the dark side. It's like that just draws me. That's my life. You know what I mean? So it's just like, and I have this strange pull on Julian Otruzi. And so it's just this battle between, almost like this battle between good and evil. Between Ogun is the good brother, the one who's just trying to get his brother to be on the good side. And I'm just the
temptation.
The temptation.
So this dark side is what put you both in jail, mm-hmm. in other words.
Yes.
Yeah, right. We're talking with members of the Definition Theater Company who are going to be presenting The Brothers' Sighs that opened last night, continues through June 8th at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, which I haven't even mentioned so far, the location. As part of the summer theater program at the University of Illinois, this play directed by Kathleen Conlon. And then they'll be presenting a number of short plays June 11th through the 14th. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I thought we should probably hear a little bit from the play itself because you can talk about a play, but it doesn't mean much until you actually see it, or in this case, at least get to hear a little bit about it. So somebody set up this first scene for us.
Yeah, I think we'll start with the invocation, which is the opening scene that Terrell writes in order to establish, I think, the reality and the dreamlike quality of much of the writing.
Ogun sighs, stands in the early morning with a shovel in his hand. He begins his work on the driveway.
Huh! Otruzi sighs is in his bed, sleeping. He stirs, dreaming. Very bad dream.
Alegba enters, drifting like the moon, singing a song.
Sharp breath out.
This road is rough. This road is rough. This road is rough and hard.
Good God.
It's rough and hard.
Lord God.
It's rough. Lord God is 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 rough.
So that gives us an idea of some of the poetry
exactly.
and the rhythm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the clapping, stomping rhythm just there, is that called for or is that one of the additions?
I think that's what we discovered as we worked through. Mm-hmm. As we would work through the language and say there's something, that there's a propulsion in the words, and we started to find that physically there were ways we were responding to it, and then we would take an impulse, and then we would, in the rehearsal process, examine that and go further with each one of them. And each scene has something that we follow through. There are a few scenes that are more language-oriented without that, but most of the time we've got something functioning physically and rhythmically throughout the scenes.
So Tyrone said, I think it was Tyrone that said, this is the third time this group has done this play.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Kathleen, were you involved in any of the previous
All
productions?
Of them.
You were. Okay, all right. Well, then that negates my next question, which was going to be, you know, what's it like to introduce a new director to a play that's already had a life? But
well, it's not introducing a new director, but for all four of us, it's introducing a new space each time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a new space makes for interesting decisions that have to be made on the spot. Yeah. Because even though we could say that basically the choreographic shape of the production is the same, but we've with each of the spaces we were in, we created new visuals to support what was going on in the language. And I think even a sense of this production, for example, visually I find much more sculptural than the other two productions that we did. Much of it is because of the space that the Studio Theater provides for us.
Which is a great space to see a play.
Perfect.
Because it's are you going to be surrounded?
We're totally all four sides. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wonderful. And you're very close to the actors. So that's
yes.
I imagine that can be intimidating for actors at times.
We're used to it now.
You're used to it. Okay. Yeah. We have a second scene. Yes.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
What's the context for this one?
This one is one of the mystical parts of the play is Ochuzi's dream. And he's having a nightmare, actually. So you'll be able to hear some of the things that happened to him in prison and how we sort of just work around that and what happens in the play.
And it appears that Ochuzi sleeps a lot in this play.
Yes, that's his thing. That's his thing, too.
It's really about how much sleep you don't get while sleeping. Like, it's not even time off, and how scary it is that, and that's another theme that he has, is how this blur between nightmare and reality, and is this actually what I'm seeing? And anytime someone sleeps in the play, they wake up sweating. It's
coming back to that theme too. Mm-hmm.
It hurts to even sleep, and how all three of these characters are always involved in each other's dreams, nightmares, and hopes. And again, yeah. So let's see what this does.
Let's give it a listen.
Ochuzi sighs, is sleeping that night, dreaming. And in his dream is his brother Ragoon. Ochuzi can hear him in this dream, working on something. On what? Ochuzi is sleeping, dreaming a sad dream. And in his dream enters Alegba, too, singing a sweet song.
Ochuzi sighs, cell number, inmate number. Ochuzi sighs. You remember, don't you? Those late nights. So hot.
So hot.
When the walls come closer, closer at night, deep night. That when the most dangerous. Cause sometimes in the night. You don't know what come for you way. You know not where the hand will lead you. Whether it's the good guard led you back to your cell. If it ain't, you remember me? Your friend? Like your brother? Your brother in need? I remember you in there with me. We were down in there sleep walking together. Got so I could tell when you wanted to eat without you saying it. Tell when you wanted to piss or sleep or... I know you scared.
Scared?
I know you in that place. Prison make grown men scared of the dark again. Put back the boogie monster and the voodoo man we spend our whole life trying to forget. You scared?
Scared.
I know you are.
Dark.
But I am here in the dark. I come for you like I always do. In that night hour when you know nobody else around, Legba come down and sing for you. You sing with me. We sing so we know we're together. You and me make it so our harmony make a light. Light on the earth and the air, you and me. In the dark, I know you in that dark place where no one else knows you. You don't have to be scared no more. Don't cry. I will walk you through, take you lightly into the night, make you smile, open your hand and smile, that Eminem kind of smile. It's funny, ain't it, Lucy? Funny. Oh, choosy size. My brother, can you walk with me? I am your taker. I am here to take you home. Just when you thought you walked alone, I am here.
Usi.
Here.
Usi.
Here.
Usi!
Seems like quite a different sort of play.
Yeah.
It is.
It's haunting.
Absolutely.
I could imagine this heat that you were talking about. Well, it's just the tiniest little taste of The Brothers' Sighs, a play by Terrell Alvin McCraney. It's the second part of a trilogy called The Brother-Sister Plays, and it's going to be presented by the Definition Theater Company. Opened last night. It will continue tonight through Monday, 7:30.
No,
the first
through,
is
through
Monday.
Next week.
Right.
The end of the week.
So tonight through June 1st,
yes.
7:30, and then Wednesday through Saturday of next week,
yes.
7:30. And then we have just a few minutes to talk about the other thing that will happen after that play finishes up. It's a new short play festival, also featuring actors from the Definition Theater Company. And that'll run Wednesday through Saturday, June 11th through the 14th, also at 7:30. And that one does have a matinee on Friday the 13th at, a late show, Friday the 13th at 10 o'clock. Is that going to be the scary one?
Yeah. Oh, we can make it scary. Do you want us to make it scary?
I guess run us through the festival. You know, why these plays?
Yeah.
And who picked them?
Well, it was a joint effort, again, as a collaboration of Illinois Theater and the Definition. So some of the plays were solicited by Definition. Some of them were solicited by the university. We have at least three of our alums, I think, who have written plays for this. Our writers come from Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago, for the most part. And these plays run the gamut from plays about social issues in Kansas, social issues in Chicago. Some of them, we have a couple of really light romantic plays. They're all about 10 minutes in length, and they give us a way of examining what is on the mind of a new generation of writers. And that's the excitement of them, is that we get totally different perspectives in each one of these short plays.
Are most of these plays written by younger people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We also have a play in the short play festival written by Terrell Alvin McCraney as well, which is pretty awesome.
Is it a different sort of language than The Brothers' Sighs?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So we get to find out a little some of his dramatic ranges.
The first time you read the play, you can identify that it's a Terrell play, but it doesn't depend on rhythmic structure in the same way that this one does. It's actually operates more psychologically than this play does.
And who's directing those various plays? Each
all one three members of the company.
So these are self-directed plays, so to speak.
Well, we actually excited to have an ensemble of U of I students with us as well. So that's going to be a very exciting way to connect back to the community right now. So Mercedes, Julie, and myself will be directing these three plays. We'll also appear in other ones, so we'll be directing each other at the same time. And then we have, again, the wonderful group of students. They're MFA students here and BFAs who... Some of them have currently graduated already, and some of them are still in the program. So this is our way of being able to spend some time with them. So we're very excited about that.
And BFA, MFA are Bachelor and Master's of Fine,
that's correct.
Fine Arts is what that means.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to all of you for coming in today. Kathleen Conlon, who is on the University of Illinois Theater faculty. Retiring, right?
Yes.
Yeah, in 3 days.
In 3 days.
Party out or last.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
in advance.
You. Yes.
And I guess we could call this her parting shot then.
a way to go, hey? Yeah.
With members of the Definition Theater Company, we have with us today Julian Parker, Tyrone Phillips, Mercedes White, and also is understudying the roles in The Brother's Size. And will you be appearing in any of the short plays?
Yes, sir, I will be.
I would assume couple so. Of Christopher Terrell. Thank you all very much for coming in today.
Thank
great.
You
thank
us.
You, Kevin.
For more information on these plays and how to get tickets, you can go to KranertCenter.com. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible today with support from a grant from the Meredith Foundation, dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. Stay tuned next for a conversation with Dr. Martin Dickey, co-director of the Peoria Bach Festival, which opens on Monday. Thank you. That's the opening movement of the Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 by Johann Sebastian Bach from the 2011 Peoria Bach Festival, one of their coffee concerts. It was directed by artistic director John Jost. This year's festival opens on Monday, continues through June the 8th at Trinity Lutheran Church in Peoria. And my guest this portion of the show is the co-director of the festival, Dr. Martin Dickey. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to hear about the festival, and especially 12th season. That's a pretty good milestone for any musical venture of any kind.
Yeah, we're thrilled about it, and this year we're bringing down a couple of big names from Chicago, and so we're very excited about that too. Stephen Alltop from Northwestern University, who also is a Well, I guess last year was appointed director of the Champaign Orchestra.
Yep.
And also directs the orchestra at Elmhurst, I think, and the Apollo Chorus. So he's coming down with his wife, Josephine Stoppelenburg, who's an internationally renowned baroque soprano. So, yeah, we're really thrilled about that.
Yeah, and Stephen is not only a conductor, he's also a harpsichordist and organist, which is really to the point for your festival.
Right, yeah. So he actually is coming down on Wednesday for some rehearsals, and then Thursday, June 5, he and his wife are presenting a chamber concert at 5:30 that evening. And then he is on June the 6th then presenting an organ concert. And his wife is also going to sing a few arias on that, which he's going to accompany on the organ, and including Bist du bei mir, and then Ich folge mich, the one from the St. John Passion, mit gleichfalls. And then, he's that night at our coffee concert, he's going to play the harpsichord concerto and A major leading the orchestra from the harpsichord. So,
a lot of things he's involved with. What's a coffee concert?
Well, a coffee concert is something we started in 2006, and that year we just for fun. I mean, most of our music had been his instrumental music, and then the vocal sacred music, and so for fun we thought, well, let's do a coffee concert, invite people to come early for some treats and a cup of coffee, and then stay for the concert, and so we performed the coffee cantata then. And so then, since then, every Friday of the festival, we call it our coffee concert, and this year, Stephen, the repertoire he's chosen is music that more than likely would have been performed at the Zimmermann Coffee House in Leipzig, which Bach led his an orchestra there regularly in Leipzig while he was there. Something that actually Telemann started, and then Bach picked it up.
To have the concerts at that particular coffee house.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So coffee house music is a long, long-standing tradition. It's not just a... And I don't think of it as an American thing, but there's certainly, I mean, you can go to various coffee shops in throughout our listening area and hear different kinds of music. Not often classical, though.
Right, yeah. And this isn't not going to be coming from little Muzak speakers, but
right.
Live. So on this concert, we have the Orchestral Suite No. 1, and then the Harpsichord Concerto in A major. And then he chose to program Telemann's Wassermusik. I mean, we're all familiar with Handel's Water Music Suite, but Telemann wrote one as well. And then his wife, is Josephine, is going to be featured on Cantata 209, which is one of Bach's secular solo cantatas.
So we're talking about the coffee concert on Friday. The concert starts at 8. The coffee is at 6:30, and it says Coffee with Bach. Will Bach be there?
Well, not he will be in spirit.
Well, I asked that for a particular reason, which we'll get to in a moment. There's a bit of a lecture at 7:15. Is Stephen doing that one then?
Yes, he is.
About the program, mm-hmm. And then the concert itself at 8:00. But we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. As I said earlier, the festival, the Peoria Bach Festival, starts on Monday. And that one is a young artist's concert. Does that happen every year?
Yes. After our second or third year, we have been having a young artist concert. It's recognizing that every kid who's a musician at some point in time learns the music of Bach. And so we thought, you know, we should just encourage them in that. And so we have, you know, little kids just starting out to high school, college kids. It's really a lot of fun.
So how do you find the players? How do you decide who gets to play on this thing?
Well, really, because for this particular concert, you know, we're not really concerned about their level of ability and where they are at in their, you know, musical journey. So it's really just a first-come, first-served basis. So we sent out notice to local teachers and put up a post on our Facebook page. And Molly Floater from Bradley University helps me organize this. So she sends out some things to the people she knows. And then basically once we get up to 50 or 60 minutes of music, then we say, well, next year.
Next year. So are you up to 50 or 60 now?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so no further students should apply at this point. So that's the Peoria Bach Festival Young Artists Concert. It'll be Monday at 12:05, and all these events are at Trinity Lutheran Church in Peoria. And then Tuesday, Bach at noon. Now, talking about when I'm getting ahead of myself, I was going to say that young people, there's a young violinist going to be on another program, but Marcia and Friends, the one on Tuesday, Marcia Henry-Liebenau, who is she still the concertmaster of the Peoria Symphony?
Right, yeah, still a concertmaster of the Peoria Symphony, and we've developed a close relationship with her and all of the professors at Bradley University. She's been at Bradley for many years, and over the years, so they've developed some phenomenal string players, some of whom now have gone on and, you know, got advanced degrees, masters and doctorates, and now are coming back. So Emmy Holmes-Hicks, for instance, originally from Chillicothe, and Lorraine Kaiser, who is Ed and Janet Kaiser's daughter. Ed's the jazz pianist and taught piano at Bradley for many, many years. Anyway, Lorraine is coming back, and Marcia is putting together a concert with Emmy and Lorraine and a few other people. So, yeah.
So that's 12:05, and it's billed here as a concert of some of Bach's more intimate works. And here's an example of some intimate works, not by Johann Sebastian, but by Carl Philipp Emanuel, since at this festival there are often works of the sons of Bach and other contemporaries. This is from, I think, the 2009 festival on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Wednesday's concert. That's the one I was sort of jumping ahead of myself. There's a pretty young violinist going to be performing named Courtney Silver. Tell me about her.
Well, Courtney is also a Peoria native, and she is a former student of Marcia Henry and Emmy Holmes-Hicks, and she is studying violin now at Rice University. And we've been doing this festival long enough now that kids who used to play on our Monday Young Artists concert, we now feature, well, now they're in college, and so we like to feature them as well. And so Wednesday, she's going to be playing, and then Dana Slaughter, who's from our congregation here and working on a master's degree in clarinet performance from Arizona State University, is going to play a Bach, Chromatic Fantasy arranged for clarinet. And then I have a young organ student who actually is an executive at Caterpillar, and she is going to play one of Bach's organ works. And then a student, Katie Burns from Bradley University, is going to sing an aria, and actually handle aria. For these concerts, you know, we say, you know, Bach or one of, you know, his sons or contemporaries.
Is this typical of previous festivals to have so many community members involved?
Well, yes, you know, there are just so many talented musicians around here, and I think more and more. I mean, it's becoming even more and more that way. You know, as the musicians, you know, get to know the festival, have become involved and want to become involved again, it's really not a problem for us to, you know, develop ideas for these concerts, because the musicians come to us and say, "Hey, I got this idea," and we're like, "Hey, great."
Why not? When do you start preparing for the next year's festival?
Well, we'll start thinking about next year's festival, you know, already right after this one. We usually rent a little pipe organ from Stephen Altop at Northwestern University. And so then on the Monday or so after the festival, John Jost and I take a trip up to Chicago to return it. And in the process, we kind of hash out some ideas for the next year's festival. So we'll start that already in a week or so.
And I should identify John Jost. He's the artistic director of the Peoria Bach Festival and the director of choral activities at Bradley University. And I'm talking with Martin Dickey, who's co-director, and he has he's been cantor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Peoria, which was what is the place that hosts the festival. And as cantor, that means what? Mostly organist, also choir director, or what's your role?
Well, I guess in modern terminology, English terminology, we would call it more director of music and teacher. So this was the role that Bach played in Leipzig. And he, of course, was in charge of many more churches than I was, and also was supposed to teach Latin in the school and stuff like that. But my focus really is just the music at this school. Then we do have an elementary school that three of our churches support, and so I help out there every now and then and try and support their music program as much as I can.
But you don't teach Latin?
No.
Bach's got that one up on you, huh?
Right.
I made a little oblique reference earlier to, you know, when I asked if Bach was going to show up at Friday night's coffee concert. But he does show up. He was expected to show up on Wednesday.
Right, yeah. We have a little children's program this year. Every year it's entitled Hey Kids, Meet Mr. Bach, and then there's usually some kind of subtitle that goes along with it. Last year it was Mr. Bach Reads His Bible, and we discussed how Bach's Bible, one of his books from his library, is actually in the library at St. Louis, Missouri, at Concordia Seminary. This year the subtitle is Bach Goes to Space, and so we'll do a little PowerPoint. Well, I dress up like Bach and then do a little PowerPoint discussing how Bach's music is on the Voyager spacecrafts out. Well, now it's actually they're out beyond the heliosphere, I guess. And it's a lot of fun.
The Bach's lunch on Thursday at noon. Oh, and I forgot to say that the Hey Kids Meet Mr. Bach, that's Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
Right.
And then the box lunch at noon on Thursday. One does need to call to reserve, which gives us a chance to say the number to call.
676-4609. That's, yeah, area code 309-676-4609.
And if you can't remember that, you can just go to the website and find it. It's PeoriaBachFestival.org. So box lunch with Martin Dickey and John Jost. What happens there?
Well, we offer a free lunch, and for anybody who wants to come and learn about the music that's going to be featured on the weekend, that's what we normally talk about. Every now and then we might talk about some other interesting topics like... one year Dr. Jost talked about performance practice and how, you know, ideals and performance practice have changed over the years, and kind of discussing our approach to that. So, yeah, this year we'll be discussing the music of the weekend, mostly the music for the Saturday night concerts, because Stephen Altop will be doing concert lecture himself on that Friday. So, and also I'll be discussing an amazing fugue that I just found this past year from the Well-Tempered Clavier Book 1, which in and of itself, even though a purely instrumental work, is an amazing statement of faith by Bach. And so we'll be playing through some of those things and discussing how a fugue works and how to compose one and the frustrations and the joys of composing one. So
that's at Box Lunch, Thursday at 12. Again, we're talking about the Peoria Bach Festival, which opens on Monday, continues through Sunday, June 8th. And it's all at Trinity Lutheran Church in Peoria. You made reference to the Saturday concert, the festival concert. That makes it sound big. What's happening?
Well, here we have the full choir then and orchestra. And so this year the choral pieces will include the double choir motet, Come Jesu Come, Come Jesus Come, one of Bach's funeral motets, and then two solo cantatas, actually, Cantata 55, Ich arme Mensch, ich sünde knecht dei, Wretched Man, Slave to Sin, featuring Trevor Mitchell, a wonderful tenor from Chicago, who also, interestingly enough, has his roots here in Peoria. And then Cantata 56, Ich will den Kreuzstab gerne tragen, I will gladly carry the cross, or the crucifix, featuring Gerard Sundberg, baritone from Wheaton College in Chicago, who concertizes all over the United States. And then finally, Cantata 34 for Pentecost, O ewiges Feuer, O eternal fire.
So that's a big concert, the festival concert, Saturday night at 8 o'clock with the Peoria Bach Festival Choir and Orchestra, with both Martin Dickey and John Jost conducting. And then some of this music repeated at worship services on Sunday morning.
Yeah, so for 8 o'clock and 10:45 worship services that Sunday, June 8th, then some of the instrumental works will be featured in the worship service, and then also then the Pentecost Cantata, O Eternal Fire, will be the primary music. Our pastor is actually going to use that as kind of the sermon, and so after the gospel reading, he'll begin his sermon just kind of introducing this cantata, and then we'll sing the cantata, and then he'll kind of summarize the proclamation that's taken place through the music and the words in the cantata.
And for Johann Sebastian Bach, music was virtually always proclamation of faith for him. I think he put it at the bottom of just about every one of his scores, Soli Deo Gloria.
Right, yeah.
Only in praise of God, I think, something
right,
like that.
Right, to God alone be the glory, or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something.
And a good example for all of us. You know, I mean, every aspect of his life, even, you know, when he was composing even secular music, you know, he was just devoting everything to his God.
It's the Peoria Bach Festival, starting Monday with the Young Artist Concert at 12:05 and finishing up with a concert Saturday night at 8 o'clock, next Saturday, June 7th, I should say, and then with worship services if you like on a Sunday morning at either 8 or 10:45. With the Peoria Bach Festival Choir and Orchestra, various soloists, guest harpsichordist, conductor, and organist Stephen Alltop, and guest mezzo-soprano Josephine Stoppelenberg, and also some other guest vocalists, and quite a bunch of wonderful music from Johann Sebastian Bach. It's the PeoriaBachFestival.org. I should say PeoriaBachFestival.org. There's no "the" in there. And Martin Dickey, thank you very much for joining us on the show and letting us know about this year's festival. Hope it all goes wonderfully well.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And if you're on Facebook, look us up on Facebook, or we also have a YouTube page, and some of our music is also on SoundCloud.com. So please join us.
And all those references are on the website.
Yes.
PeoriaBachFestival.org. Thanks very much, Martin.
Well, thank you very much.
Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. On Monday's Live and Local, we'll be joined live in our studio by Wyoming musician Jalon Crossland, roots musician, guitarist, banjo player, singer. He'll be performing twice in our area next week, both times in Urbana, actually, at the Monday night Hootenanny at the Rose Bowl Tavern, and then Tuesday at the Iron Post. Looking forward to that. Monday at 4 o'clock on Live and Local. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 88 degrees at 5 o'clock.